Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon and Oregon State will meet for the 125th time Saturday in the Platypus Bowl. Joey Harrington has played in some of these, grew up in this state. He understands rivalry game. He's here to talk about it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm just finishing lunch, so, you know, got a little Grand Central Bakery sandwich in, and life's a little better.
Love that. Get the blood sugar going before the interview. Let's talk about... You went to Oregon. You probably understood this rivalry, though, long before. Let's go back to Joey Harrington's childhood. When were you? Okay. At what point did you get tuned into Oregon-Oregon State as a rivalry?
I mean, I always knew it as a rivalry, but I don't think that... I don't want to say it was in, okay. Let's reframe here. So many people know the Oregon-Oregon State rivalry in terms of the last 20 years of Oregon success, and be honest, the 10 years of that, Oregon State was having a lot of success as well, right? So there was an importance to it. I grew up during the time of the Toilet Bowl, during the 34 fumbles, and you know. 16 missed field goals and the downpour, you know, where there truly was no importance other than beating the Beavers or beating the Ducks. So I think the rivalry itself has been heightened a bit by the success. That being said, I was still aware of it growing up. It just didn't have any sort of national implications like it has so many times in the last 20 years.
The games that you participated in, did you have a feeling that your teammates understood what was at stake? Because there's part of this game, Saturday, where I'm kind of wondering, given all the Southern California kids at Oregon, I wonder how if those guys are tuned into kind of the stakes, the rivalry, more than just another Pac-12 game.
They're not. I mean, I think that's maybe I'm making a rash judgment, but I know in my experience, it wasn't. You know, the guys from Arizona cared about playing, you know, Arizona State. The guys from Southern California cared about playing SC and UCLA. The guys from Oregon cared about the playing Oregon State. There is a natural tendency to have a fascination or an affiliation, you know, with the place where you came. That being said, once you've been there for a little while, you know, the juniors and seniors have kind of come to experience it. And I think it was heightened for us, too, because Oregon State was really good. You know, that was the Jonathan Smith, Kenny Simonton, you know, Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh. I mean, they had a squad for a few years there. And so I think that natural competition increases the feelings of rivalry. But yeah, I think there's definitely a learning curve that exists for guys that didn't grow up playing in this game. And it's interesting too, because really for the better part of the last 10 years, Oregon's, you know, quote unquote, biggest rivals, it hasn't been a competitive game, right? It hasn't been truly competitive back and forth with Washington in 20 plus years, you know, with the exception of 2 years where they got us. And really for the better part of the last decade, Oregon State has been so down that it hasn't had this, you know, what was it, 20 years straight where the home team won,
yeah,
between Oregon and Oregon State. I mean, that in and of itself bred rivalry. That in and of itself showed the importance of the game to the kids who may have come from out of state. But you got an entire, what do we call it? Not a class, but you've got an entire team of Ducks that only know Oregon State as subpar in football.
Last year, Oregon State wins this game. No fans in the stadium. You could tell it meant a lot to the players. But everybody kind of waved it off at Oregon as, you know, weird year. We're going to the conference championship anyway. And, you know, good win for Oregon State. Does last year's game stick in Oregon's craw, Joey, in your mind? Or, is it just this about 2021?
Can I give you an honest answer?
Yes.
It may for them as players, but I didn't even know the game existed, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. I couldn't have told you who won. I couldn't have told you that I knew there was a college football season last year, but I mean, it wasn't even on my radar. And before you just mentioned it a second ago, I truly had no idea that they won the game during COVID.
Joey Harrington is with us, former Oregon quarterback, NFL quarterback. Let's go to psychology here. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. Oregon was part of this playoff discussion. You know, we all suspected they were vulnerable. They go to Utah. Mm-hmm. They get boat raced. Now they're out of the playoff. Mario Cristobal is spending some time this week, I'm sure, talking to his guys about reframing expectations, motivation. What does losing last week have to do with this week's game?
Everything. Has everything to do with this week's game, and it's going to tell you a lot about this team, whether or not this is a team that got exposed, or whether this was a team that simply just got punched in the face and got beat, but had the wherewithal to get up and get back on the horse and do it again this week. Because if you don't have motivation to play for this game, you go out and beat Oregon State, you win the Pac-12 North. Right, that gives you a chance to win the Pac-12 championship, which gives you a chance to play in the Rose Bowl. If you don't find motivation to play in the Rose Bowl, then you're playing the wrong sport. I'm sorry. I mean, go figure something else out, because the Rose Bowl is such an incredible, we'll call it a prize. I mean, the history, the tradition, the absolute accomplishment that it takes to get into that game. But it's tough because, yeah, you're right. Last week they had a bigger prize in mind. They were talking about the college football playoff. And like you said, we knew that there were shortcomings, that they had done a really nice job of playing to their strengths and covering those things up. And they got kicked in the teeth last week. And I think you will learn a lot from this team. I think you'll learn a lot about Mario as a coach. By the type of performance that they put out on the field this weekend.
Joey, the quarterbacks on both these teams have struggled a little bit. They're obviously not focal points and haven't, you know, week to week been consistent. But Anthony Brown seemed to struggle against Utah. Was it something that you could see? Is it mechanics? Is it something Utah was doing? Is it just, hey, a guy was off, had a bad game? What did you see?
No, I mean, it's the same thing that's been going on all year. It's decision-making, it's recognition, it's getting the ball out of your hands to the right person at the right time. And that's always been the case. They've been able to cover for it, and they've been able to, whether it's game planning that has helped Anthony make quicker decisions and getting the ball out, you know, for those games, let's call it UCLA, Ohio State. I mean, he's played some really good football games this year. But the things that have come back and that have continued to be an issue are the decision making, and the accuracy. And those things they bit him this week, and they weren't able to hide that through a dominant running game because they weren't able to run the football. And Utah held them at the line of scrimmage, which is something that nobody has been able to do this year. So I think what happened is Oregon has been able to cover for some of Anthony's shortcomings. That being said, and I still agree, all the coaching staff, all the players, all the analysts, former players, said that he is the quarterback that gives them the best chance to win this year. I still agree with that. By no means is that saying that he's perfect, but I still think that's the case. And they've been able to hide his shortcomings for the majority of the year, and this week they weren't.
What does it do? You know, I saw a couple of times there were some frustration. Chris Hudson, one of the wide receivers, kind of gesturing at his quarterback after an errant throw, and Devin Williams, like, basically telling him, get the ball up. I'm 6'5". Hit me up here, not at the ankles. What does that do to a quarterback during a game when you got receivers who were bad body language, I guess?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go back to what Bill Musgrave told me. He said, we have one rule in this quarterback room. I don't ever want to see you go palms up on the field. I was like, palms up? What do you mean? He was my quarterback coach in Atlanta. And he said, we'll figure things out. There are all sorts of other rules. But in this room, don't you ever go palms up. And I thought about it. I said, Coach, what does palms up mean? He said, do it right now. And so I put my palms up. What does that show? That shows a lack of – that shows like passing blame. Like, it wasn't my fault. What are you doing? A lack of accountability. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. There is an effect that body language has. And I think I would take a very reasonable guess that was addressed in the locker room this week.
All right, before I cut you loose, early in games, Mario Cristobal says he's looking which way the piles are falling. Jonathan Smith says, it's an energy thing. He just wants to see his defense what kind of energy they have in the first couple of possessions. What is Joey Harrington looking at as sort of a marker early in games of which team is having success?
I think it's exactly what Mario said, because if the pile is falling Oregon's direction, that means the offensive line is dominating, which is what they have to do. They've shown that Utah showed that you can, if you can neutralize their running game, you can beat them soundly. This is never going to be a team that's carried by Anthony Brown. But this is a team that can be supplemented by Anthony Brown in a great way. But that has to come from the offensive line. And so I like his analogy. If the piles are falling in their direction, then the offensive line is doing their job, which means you're going to have a lot of options on offense, which was not the case last week.
I wonder if Washington State beats Washington in the Apple Cup on Friday, how that affects Oregon State's approach on Saturday. I still think they'll show up to play, but I'm fascinated. I am, and you're gonna watch this game. And you got a pick yet in this game, or are you just waiting and seeing?
Well, I think my pick has to be Oregon, not just because I'm an alum, but because they have showed to be the better football team this year. That is I don't say a fact, but what makes me hesitate is that they got exposed last week. Utah gave Oregon State a blueprint of what to do. And it does scare me, and we've talked about this before, that Jonathan Smith is the right guy. And I knew from the moment he arrived that he was going to have this program back in contention. And I think it happened a little bit sooner than a lot of people would have expected. And so this is a scary Beaver team. It's not a perfect Beaver team, but it's a scary team that can come out and bite you, especially after what Utah showed the rest of the conference. So I think there is some hesitance, but I think at the end of the day, Oregon is a better football team. It's being played at Autzen, and I think Oregon wins the game.
Joey Harrington, I wish you the best. Platypus Bowl. Platypus Cup or Platypus Bowl? What are we going with?
Well, I don't know. We were talking about this. So confirm, I'm sure you've confirmed to your listeners, this trophy is what's driving the conversation for me, right? If we don't have if we don't have a name, we got this awesome trophy that has history, that was, has a story, which you obviously had a part of. I call it Platypus Cup. Simply because that allows all the other sports to be involved, right? It's not just football. It's not just a bowl game. This is about all the other sports that would fall underneath that, So, I don't know. We'll just go with it until they make a decision.
Warren Spady, 1959, Joey's talking about the trophy. Car was commissioned to do this trophy. Warren sent me a replica of the trophy. I have it in my hands right now in the studio. I'm going to take a picture of it. I'll text it to you, Joey, and I'll tweet it out as well. But you're right. The Platypus Trophy exchanged by the alumni association of the winning team, gets to carry it for the year, has to be part of the game. We can still, you know, people can call what they want, but there is a Platypus trophy involved in this thing. I'll go with Platypus Cup as well.
You know what? It's better than Paul Bunyan's trophy. What does Paul Bunyan have to do with college football? And there's like a little brown jug or like a, yep, like a bucket or something like
the
that.
The old oaken bucket, Purdue and Indiana. What is oaken, that?
I mean, for God's sake, how? Take a look at this trophy. And yes, is it regal and is it, you know, refined? No, it's not. But this is college football, and it's a duck bill and a beaver tail, and it's an awesome trophy. And you know what? It's better than a stupid axe or something like that. You know, we got it. Let's roll with it.
I love it. Joey Harrington, thank you. There he is. Former Oregon quarterback. The Platypus Trophy goes to the winner. Warren Spady carved it. I'll tell you some backstory on it, and I'll tweet out a photo of the Platypus Trophy. Warren Spady carved me like a mini Platypus Trophy that I have in the studio. Leave it here. You got the bald face truth. November 2004, I had been on the scene here at the Oregonian only for about 2 years. And run up to that 04 Civil War football game, I wrote a column saying, hey, this rivalry needs a trophy. And I had covered, as we mentioned in the last segment, Purdue and Indiana, the old oaken bucket. You got the brown jug in Minnesota, you got the axe, the Cal-Stanford game. And I wrote a column in 04 saying, hey, this game needs a trophy. Well, a gentleman named Warren Spady reached out to me and said, this game has a trophy. I carved it 1959. Warren Spady was an art student at the University of Oregon. He was commissioned by the Alumni Association to create a trophy that would be exchanged by both teams, and he created the Platypus Trophy. And it is a beauty. I just tweeted out a photograph of it, and the photo includes Warren Spady. So Spady said this trophy was exchanged at midfield, and it was exchanged by the university presidents at the time in 1959, 1960, when they played this game. So I started doing some reporting, and I tracked down a gentleman named Dan Williams, who is a associate athletic director or associate executive at Oregon. He was working in some capacity in the athletic department. And Dan Williams was the student body president at Oregon in 1959, 1960. And I said to Dan Williams, you know, do you remember this thing? And he says, in fact, I do. I remember trudging across the field to exchange this trophy. It exists. He said it has disappeared from the trophy case. This is in 2004. And I got to give Dan Williams at Oregon a lot of credit here, because he made it a mission to go find this thing. And he and I were in touch over several weeks as, you know, I was getting tips about it. He was getting tips about it. We heard that, you know, the water polo players had taken it and taken the placard off the front of the trophy and made it the water polo trophy between Oregon and Oregon State for a period. And then it disappeared from a trophy case. Was it stolen? Did somebody just not understand it? Well, apparently Oregon had renovated part of their athletic department and taken all the trophies out of the trophy case and put them into storage. And then
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.